Hopefully, by the time you hear the short share, I will be in Cleveland, ready to witness one of the most awe-inspiring and amazing albeit short natural celestial events, a total eclipse of the sun, which will occur on Monday, April 8th, Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and will be visible in the continental U.S. from Texas all the way through Maine. An eclipse is when one celestial body moves between the sun and another body, casting a shadow on the outer celestial body. In a lunar eclipse, the earth comes between the sun and the moon, putting the moon in earth's shadow and completely covering up its reflective light. In a solar eclipse, the moon comes between the earth and the sun, casting a much smaller shadow across a narrow band of the earth's surface. During a solar eclipse, within the narrow band of what is known as totality, the sun is completely covered, with only the corona or the sun's atmospheric light visible. Other parts of Earth across the narrow band will have a partial eclipse, but without proper safety glasses, you won't see it. During totality, you can view an eclipse even without any safety glasses. Both lunar and solar eclipses happen at about the same frequency. The difference is that lunar eclipses are viewable over almost all of the Earth on the night side and last much longer. A solar eclipse is over a very narrow band, typically in faraway places or over the ocean, and for a very short period. At most, totality lasts anywhere from 1 to 2 to up to 5 minutes. Thus, it is perceived as a rare event, which it is. An eclipse raises interesting halachic and hashkafic issues. In the few minutes we have, we will try to cover some of those. First, do you make a bracha on an eclipse? The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Nun Chesamibes, lists certain wondrous natural events that when witnessed or experienced requires a bracha, typically Isomasa Bereshis. This list is brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well, and the list does not include eclipses. The Mepharshim and Paiskim deal with whether this list is exclusive or just examples. If the list is exclusive, then we clearly do not say a bracha on an eclipse. There are those that say, such as Rav Shmuel Wozner, that the list is not exclusive. So that, for example, you can make a bracha on seeing a volcano. Yet he says we do not make a bracha on an eclipse, since volcanoes are not on the list because they weren't present in Eretz Yisrael or Bavel, so they weren't listed. But the Chachamim and later Poskim knew about eclipses, yet left them off the list. There's a very small minority of Poskim that hold that a bracha of Isam Asabrashas should be said on an eclipse. However, most are of the view that it should not, or at least it is in doubt, and suffic brachas lahakam. There's another reason not to make a bracha on an eclipse. And this leads to our next discussion. It is brought down from the Stipler that no bracha is said on a solar eclipse because the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chaf Tes Amar Aleph says that it is a Simen Ra for the Oyvdei Kechavim. And we should not say a bracha on something that's a Simen Ra or a bad omen. This leads to another question. Eclipses are natural phenomena and are regular and they're predictable. Greek astronomers in antiquity were already successfully predicting solar eclipses. And we could assume that the Chachamim were aware of the astronomy of their day. So how can a predictable natural phenomenon be considered a Simen Ra? First, I note that the Mechilta also states that an eclipse is a Simen Ra, but then concludes that one should not fear heavenly omens. This idea is brought down in Rashi and Bereishis, quoting a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Mi oiseis ha-shamayim al techotu. When you have and you do the Ratzon Hashem, you have nothing to worry about. In the Sefer Yisoid Olam by Rabbi Yitzchak Yisraeli ben Yosef, the Talmud of the Rush, he says that the Gemara is only speaking allegorically and not literally. Bionisan Eibshit says the Gemara is actually referring to sun spots and not eclipses. The Maral says that if there was no sin or avarice in the world, then there actually wouldn't be any eclipses. But because of humanity's sins, there are eclipses which act as a Simen Ra. In a somewhat similar vein, the Shlach says that Hashem knows when people will sin. So he set up the order of the world in such a way that eclipses occur during times of human sinfulness. Laura Chlaner says that eclipses are a time of bad mazel, when sins are punished more harshly. It is brought from Yaakov Kamenetsky that although eclipses are naturally occurring phenomenon, whether we can actually see them depends on other factors, such as the weather. Hopefully it won't be cloudy in Cleveland. At the end of the day, a solar eclipse is an amazing natural event. The Chovas of Avos mentions how lunar and solar eclipses are great nefloi sabari. As a matter of fact, perfect total solar eclipses are very rare in the solar system. And it is believed that only Earth experiences such a phenomenon of a perfect total eclipse. The reason is that the moon is about 400 times smaller than the sun, yet is about 400 times closer to Earth. This amazing fact allows for perfect total eclipses on Earth that other planets do not have. This is truly a testament to the Nephloi Sabir. I'll end with a story that's brought down from a Rav Shmuel Pliskin, a Talmud of the Yeshiva in Raden. In 1927, there was an eclipse in Europe. Rav Pliskin actually made special glasses for the Chafetz Chaim to be able to observe the solar eclipse. The Chafetz Chaim gave a drasha to the yeshiva explaining the significance of the eclipse and also told the residents and the yeshiva Talmidim of Raden to view the eclipse outdoors. He wanted them to see how Hashem takes away the koyach of the sun that were worshipped by some as a Avodah Zarah, to show that the sun is not itself a creator. Rav Pliskin goes on to describe how everyone gathered together with the Chafetz Chaim early in the morning to view this great event. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the eclipse safely, of course.